Appreciate the good day that the Lord has given us. I want to deal tonight in particular with one verse, if the Lord would help us, found over in the book of James, chapter number 4. The book of James, chapter number 4. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in the book of James, chapter number 4. I'd like to deal with verse number 8. We'll read verse number 7 and get into 8. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. We don't have any excuses there at all, do we? We can't say the devil made me do it. Now, verse 8. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Thank you for standing this evening. Father, we're grateful for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for a King James Bible that we can still read in this day and hour. Thank you for our church family. God, how you've knitted our hearts together here. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the great things, Lord, that you've done at this place. And not only that you've done, that you're doing. God, the great things that you will do hereafter. I'm thankful that you're our God, you're sovereign, you know everything tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you died for the sins of all men. Thank you, Lord, you paid a ransom for all. Now, I pray tonight on this verse as you've laid it upon my heart. Lord, last night we thought we had what we needed tonight, but you put this in me today. And I pray now you let preaching be easy. Let me be a blessing to your people tonight. Lord, they've had hard days, difficult days. I pray you'd give them a blessing for putting forth this effort of being in your house tonight. Thank you for them. I pray now that you'd get the honor and the glory. I want to pray especially tomorrow. Lord, for Brother Chris and Brother Eric in this time, would you help them? In Christ's name we ask you and we pray. Amen and amen. I want to deal with three thoughts tonight on this text verse on draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. And I want to talk a little bit about this subject on we're just as close as we want to be. We're just as close as we want to be. And I want to deal with three thoughts on this verse. First of all, there's the obligation of it. Number two, there's the obstacles of it. But then thirdly, there is the opportunities of it. Now, the obligation, draw nigh, simply means to cleave. It means to be close to. You know, a lot of times we hear people say, well, I'm just not getting nothing out of the service. I'm just not getting nothing. It seems like that God is distant. We are reminded that God said that He is the Lord and He changes not. So maybe tonight it's not God, but it's us. For He said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We're just as close as we want to be. You know, we put a lot of excuses on things. In a couple of weeks, I hope God lets me preach a message of the Laodicean spirit that we have in this day and hour. And we love to put all types of excuses out. You know, we've got excuses for everything about why I do this or why I don't do this. But I think it boils down lots of times as we've lost our love for God. You see, in Ephesians, or in Revelation 2, there was the church of Ephesus, and he said, you know, y'all doing real good except the main thing. You're working yourself to death, you're real busy, but you've done something that I'm real concerned about. He said, you've left your first love. He didn't say you'd lost it, but you'd left it. You know, when you leave something, you know where it's at. And he said, you've left your first love. But tonight, notice this obligation on draw nigh to God. Now, in Psalms 15 and verse number 1, if you'd look there this evening, Psalms 15 and verse number 1, David said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?
Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now look what he says. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, and he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, an obligation to draw nigh to God. Look, if we would, in Romans chapter number 8 this evening. Romans chapter 8. And here in verse number 5, Paul's writing, and he says these words. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now that lets me know something. It is hard to really decipher the difference between a carnal man and a lost man. But we do know that Paul said, you are yet carnal, and he was talking to saved people. Now this draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He's not referring, he's not even speaking to the world, but he's speaking to his children. I got to thinking about this text this evening as God put this thing in my heart. And here in Romans 8, you'll see that he that minds the things of the flesh, then they do the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or it goes against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, or he makes you alive by the Spirit of God. Now it is our obligation to draw nigh to God. Isn't it amazing a lot of times we want him to draw nigh to us? But we have this text and it says that we have an obligation to draw nigh to him or to cleave to him. That's a Bible word where it says that the man and woman, that they would leave their parents and they would cleave one to another. Now this evening in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 7, I'd like to deal with this before I go any further to the second point. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 7, he says, for God hath not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. And he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I like this in verse number 11, that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them or without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now there's the obligation to draw nigh to God, but there are some issues in this drawing nigh to God. There are some obstacles. You know, if you're going to get close to that organ from here, then I've got some problems. There's something standing between me and that organ. It's a post. And I think a lot of times in our life, before we can get any closer to God, we've got to get through these obstacles that are between us and God. I think a lot of times when it's my earthly father, boy, I'm glad I had a good earthly daddy. And therefore, it was nothing like getting close to Dad. But I noticed the older that I got, it seemed like that I drifted off from him, that I really didn't think much about what he said that much. But then all of a sudden it dawned on me one day that my daddy was the smartest man that ever lived. Boy, I thought I knew everything when I put what I had in a pickup truck, come over Mont Eagle Mountain. And boy, as soon as I got on the other side, I got a little older and realized that what Daddy said most of the time was right. But I'm going to tell you what our Heavenly Father says, it's always right. And so, isn't it amazing? It seems like the older we get, sometimes we say, well, I don't need them instructions. I've been doing this long enough to do it by myself. And then that's when we get in trouble. Oh, how I wished I had my daddy many times to sat down in a chair and me asked him a question, but I hadn't got him. But I got somebody a lot greater than that. I got somebody still sitting on the throne of glory that can lead and guide me in all truth by the Holy Ghost that lives in me. And oh, tonight I want to be in the right fellowship with my Father who's on the throne. Now, Father, Daddy always taught me right. When I got in trouble, it's not because I didn't know not to get in trouble. I got in trouble and me knowing not to get in trouble. And so here there are some obstacles. In Matthew 15 and verse number 7, I find these things that's raising up in our life. And you know, wouldn't it be amazing? This is an amazing thing to me. I was saved in 1981. I've been saved over 30 years. You would think that this flesh would go to playing out on me now, but I declare I believe it's getting stronger. I believe the older it gets, it's like country ham, the stronger that it gets. And so, isn't it amazing? You'd think somebody had been saved over 30 years wouldn't be having no problems with the flesh. But Paul said this. He said, the things I want to do, a lot of times I don't find myself doing. And he said, the things I wished I could do, I just can't do them all the time. And you know, it's a great day when we realize we can't live by the law, therefore we live by grace. But let me tell you tonight that we cannot condone sin just because we are in a fleshly body. Now, God wants us to be holy as He is holy. Now, there's some obstacles. Matthew 15 and verse number 7. These obstacles of getting close to God. Well, He says this in Matthew 15 and 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth in the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Now, we see in James chapter 4 and verse number 4, I want to remind you tonight that, you know, we live in a world that says, well, you know, God is so tolerable of things and God is full of compassion, but I don't think God is near as tolerant as we think He is. Now, in James chapter number 4 and verse 4, this is what James said. And I don't know if anybody could handle James as their pastor, because he just cut right through the chase and he called a hog and a dog, a dog. And I want you to look what he says. He said, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now he calls those that are in the world adulterers and adulteresses. A lot of times there are obstacles in our life getting close to God, and it's called the world. Man, the world loves to spring up in our life, and if you're not careful, you'll be going after things that's really not going to matter in 100 years. Can I remind you tonight, when we get to heaven, God is not going to congratulate you teaching your youngins how to dance. He's not going to congratulate you that you taught them to be a good sport on the ball team. He's not going to congratulate you that they got a scholarship because of the ball diamond. God's only concern, do they know anything about His sons and the workings of Him? Now, boy, there's a lot of things get between us and God that keeps us drawing nigh. Now, I'm afraid a lot of times in 2 Corinthians 6, we forgot about this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, A lot of churches has went here, and a man rebuked me sharply the other day about this, but I'm not going to back up off what the Word of God says. I don't have to apologize what God wrote. I didn't write it. I just read out of it. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it's still there. He says, now watch this. Let's go ahead and get in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that ought to be in our business world. Amen. You're not going to do good if you're a Christian and you get in business with somebody that don't know God. I've heard so many people fall out of business because they didn't believe alike. And then I'm going to tell you, as far as the marriage goes, it'll take a miracle for your marriage to work. And I know there are exceptions, but I can tell you, it is the exception than the rule that you ought to marry folks that are saved. You ought to date folks that are saved. Amen. If you go to the beer joint, more than likely you're going to get you a beer joint woman unless you both get saved. Amen. And a beer joint ain't no place to look for somebody to raise your young'uns up. And so be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship with righteousness with unrighteous? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God who is us with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, it doesn't alarm me so much what's going on in the world today, because Jesus said that in the last days perilous times shall come. But what bothers me is what's going on in churches tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, what always has been a hog is still a hog, and a dog's still a dog. And you can get a hog and you can get him smelling real pretty, put a little bow in his head, you turn him loose and he's going to go to the mud hole every time. Boy, he says, come out from among them and be. He said, we've adopted the world's methods. Trickery, used to, you know. God said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. We ought not need a contract. Now people will take you to court for signing a contract. It's unbelievable. We have the world's methods and then we have the world's morals. It's amazing where the morals have went from our country. Matter of fact, we've allowed the world to pump everything into our homes, you know. I mean, nothing is sacred no more. Slop opera. Hey, let me tell you, the world's methods, it's not running around on your husband and wife. It's being to one that God puts you with and that you paid them vows together. And honey, when you go to bed tonight, you ain't got to back up and be ashamed of what you've done that day. And get up and look at her in the face and say, I love you, and go on to church and come back to the house of God and enjoy being together for the honor and the glory of God. I noticed tonight, you know, Miss Renee loves that game show. I like it pretty good. I forget the name of it. Family Feud reminds me of a Baptist church. But it amazes me, they asked an answer tonight, how many people, or if you're married, what is the percentile of those that don't cheat on one another? And it's amazing what they put on them boards, what people think. Listen, we're not to doubt the world's methods or the world's morals. Boy, when you start preaching, people look at you cross-eyed. Let me tell you, sin ain't all right tonight. I love what Spurgeon said. When men get friendly with sin, they rename it. And renaming sin doesn't affect its effect on men. You know, the Bible calls a drunkard. Well, they say it's just alcoholism. It's a disease. No, it ain't a sin. Now, same-sex marriage. You know, we're going to soft-soak that. Well, God says it's an abomination. Gambling. You know what the world calls it? Lottery. That's all right. Go get you a scratch off. Go and get you. I hope you win $1 million and they put you on the Bowden Bulletin. That'd be my luck, the first thing I'd buy. But God's grace ain't there, Bible. But if I ever bought one, I'd win $1 million. They'd have me smiling at everybody. That'd be like me laying out of church and going golfing on Sunday. I'd make a hole in one the first par three I come to and couldn't tell nobody about it. But they'd put me on the bulletin board at Oak Mountain. Boy, don't that make sense tonight, what Spurgeon said. Ain't it something when men get friendly with sin, they rename it? Why don't we just call it what it is? It's dirty, rotten, stinking sin. And it keeps us from getting close to our Father. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that God's people, the blood-washed band, those that are going to heaven, boy, it's time that we go to turning our lights on bright and realizing there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But when we get there, I don't want to duck my head down and say, Lord, I'm sorry I live like that. I know we make it. I know that we can all stumble and make some bumps in the road, but we ain't got to stay there and live in it. There's a thing called repentance and turning from our sin and asking God to forgive us. If we're not careful, the church becomes so worldly that God has no place to move and minister. And friend, listen, if the Holy Ghost ain't in this church, we might as well lock our doors and go on back home. Because if God ain't here, you've wasted your gas to get down here. I've been ridiculed. You hate people. I don't hate people. I hate their sin. And you ought to hate sin. Sin ain't your buddy. Sin is never satisfied. Once I sin, this flesh wants more sin. But I'm glad I got something in me called the Holy Ghost that knocks on my soul and says, eh! Thank you, God, for them ants. The world's methods. I want to see people saved. I want to see our church grow. And I think God's done a great job, don't you? Ain't nobody here can get credit of what we've done. I know Wednesday nights is slim, and that's another sermon. You're here. I ain't going to preach to you. I don't know why it ain't over 300 people here tonight like they are Sunday morning. I don't understand all that. But all I know, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it is the last day. And we ain't got no excuse for not drawing nigh to God. Because we can just get as close to Him as we want to get close to Him. I don't think He's going to push none of us away and say, no, you're getting too close. I want to be so close that He whispers, I know what He said. I want to be close enough that He can reach out and love on me. I love the kisses of the Holy Ghost. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but I love a good church service to get to going and the good God of glory come by and breathe down my neck. I love it when He breathes on me. Boy, every now and then I forget that I'm a Baptist pastor and lose my dignity and go to shouting and saying, Hallelujah, I'm glad You saved my worthless hide by Your amazing grace. Oh, tonight, drawn out of God, He'll draw out of you. You see, in Ephesians 4, verse 24, Ephesians 4, 24, you can get just as close as you want to get. My wife said something this week. I'm going to tell on her a little bit. She's here, ain't talking behind her back. Some of you henpeck boys, you scared anyway. Somebody say amen. She's going to take a little trip. She said, hon, sometime I need a little break from you. Could you imagine that? Sometime I need a little break from you. She's going to be gone that day. She said, but I don't need that long of a break. I said, well, that's good to know. But I guarantee you, God's not going to tell you I need some time without you. And I understand what she says. I'll balance this thing. Sometime we all need to go find ourselves. I don't like what I find. But we do need some time alone sometime. Sometimes it's real good. I've been gone on a road trip, come in. Man, I can hardly wait to get me a hug. Amen. I know some of y'all been married a long time, don't do that no more, but I still hug my wife. Still love her. Now, I don't believe God's never going to get enough of us. Boy, any long suffering. And I got thinking about, you know, a woman live with me, she's got to be a special woman. Because I get enough of me myself. I do. I wish I wasn't as high strung as I am. I wish sometimes I could just be laid back and not let things bother me. I went to the doctor the other day, he put that light down. He said, well, you got an ulcer. I said, really? I couldn't imagine me having an ulcer. I went to the doctor this week. My sleeping's got better. And he said, well, preacher, you're doing good. He said, I'm glad to see you. You're doing good. He said, you ever just go take some time off? I said, well, sometimes I try to, but I can't turn it off. I said, preacher, you need to unwind. You need to relax. Yeah, right. You need to go get some time for yourself and chill. But I'm going to tell you something. God never has enough of us. He wants us so close. And you know, in Ephesians 4, verse number 24, he says, and that you put on the new man. Boy, you got to put it on, because if you don't, you won't put it on. Now, I thought about y'all this morning in my prayer time. I want to ask you something. I do realize how busy you are. I know that we're probably in the busiest lifestyle that's ever been known is this generation tonight. We know nothing about sitting on a porch. We know nothing about getting in, getting a decent supper at a decent time. Kids, no place to be. But let me tell you, God's not done all that. We've done all that. And I got to thinking this morning in my prayer altar, the first thing I do when I lift my head off my pillow, the first thing I do, I go to my coffee pot and I plug it in. And then I go right into my altar and I talk to God. And it's unbelievable what that does for me. I like what the old preacher said in Kentucky that time. I was 95 years old preaching. He had been preaching 70 years. And he said, I'm going to preach on the topic of prayer today. And he said, it's not how long you pray, just don't go long without praying. Now, I want to ask y'all something. Do you have a place where you pray? Sunday, I read that text where the Lord's on your side with Peter was held in prison, but prayer was made for the church for him without ceasing. If it's ever been a time that Liberty Baptist Church needs to be praying, boy, it's tonight. We need to be praying for its leaders, for all of our members. We need to be praying that souls would be saved. There's a real devil out there. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if the devil's a little stick man like a lot of people think he is, but he's the real deal tonight. So I want to ask you, do you have a place to pray? It would change your day. It would change your job if you could just get away. You say, well, I don't have time. Set your clock 10 minutes early. Set a place that you can go and pray. I want to ask you tonight, do you have that place in your life? Ephesians 4, 24, that you put on the new man, which after God's created to righteousness and true holiness, wherefore put away lying, speak to every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to him in your life. You know your weaknesses. Don't go there. Don't let your flesh get around them things that you're tempted with. Don't give place to him. If you know you're going to argue with somebody, sidestep them. Don't even get in the argument. You know it's no use. You've got your mind made up before you talk with them. Ain't no sense in you getting it. Don't give place to the devil. A lot of you tonight, some of you say, well, you know, my feelings has been hurt at church. And it just, well, let me tell you, don't give place to the devil. your feelings got hurt at Walmart, you've always went back there. Don't give place to the devil. Put on. 1 Peter 1:15. The Bible says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind in verse 13. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Let me say that again. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Isn't it amazing what we've done when we was young? And God spared. You know what I've done one time, no kids up here? I got on a 26-inch bicycle, tied a rope to it behind a pickup truck, and let a boy that didn't have a lick of sense start pulling me down the highway. And did you know when you get up about 60, a bicycle does this right here? That's one of them things, oh, I wish I'd thought about that. You ever thought about them things that you just, unbelievable what you done when you was young? Well, look what he's saying right here. He said, now look, when you was young in the Lord, he said, you ought to think about what you was doing. He said, now you've got older, you ought to be thinking different. I like what Brother Vance said Sunday. He said, you know, the preacher's not a zookeeper. He said, a lot of you, like I never heard this, a yard cat. He said, you just wanting the preacher to rub on you. And ain't that about the truth? People just wanting attention. Look, we're big folks. We're grown folks. The young'uns is downstairs. We ought to act like grown folk. We ought to grow up in the Lord and not let little old things bother us the way that it used to bother. We ought not be going places we used to go. Some things that God convicts me about today that He didn't yesterday, I ought to remember that it's for my good and for His glory. Oh, tonight, how close are you? How close are you? Now, He said, 1 Peter 1:15, but he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Or pure, pure. Let me tell you know what character is? Character is what me and you do when nobody else is looking. That's character. And a lot of times we need to be thinking, God is a looking. Maybe that's why we're not being blessed no more than we are. There's something between me and Him. Maybe that's why I'm not getting prayers through if something's between me and Him the way it is. Now, any of you that's had children, you can relate to this, and I'm going to close. Let's say that you was in good standings with your daddy. Everything is great. And you come up and you asked him, you had a dire need. Now I guarantee you that if you had a daddy right with God and it wouldn't hurt you, that he would do everything within his power to help you, to give you that you needed. But did you know that if you had been disobedient to your earthly father, and if you hadn't listened to his advice and doing things just your way, and then all of a sudden you needed something real important, and you come up to him just because he could, he said, nope. Because you're not where you need to be. You say, does God do that? I think God does that a lot. You can't make me believe that God does not give us things the closer that we are to Him and grant us things that we really don't have to have, but He'd just like to give it to us because that good fellowship is so close. You can't make me believe nothing no different. Now, if I had a young'un, and he was cussing me every breath, and he hadn't listened to nothing I had to say, I'll just be honest with you, I would be out not to help him near as much as one that said every time, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know my curfew. I know where my boundaries are. I'm there. And you know, it would just, I believe it would really, I believe God would enjoy seeing us have the blessings of God on us. God has given me the desires of my heart. I'm not saying that I always do right, but I'm saying this, I always want to. And tonight,
I'm more reminded, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to me. Now, there's not only obligations, there's not only obstacles in our life. Let me tell you something. God is a jealous God. He said, I am jealous. Let me ask you something. He called us adulterers and adulteresses. Means that we're running around with the world. Do you think that your husband and wife would put up with that? Not one second. Don't you think that God's feelings are hurt? Matter of fact, the Bible says that we can quench Him. We can grieve Him. But let's ask you tonight. If you're running around with other things but God, don't you think He has the right to be jealous? If there's something in my life that's more God than He is? Some of you need that crazy bumper sticker on your car. God's my co-pilot, because He ain't your pilot. He's just an afterthought. Well, we'll have God later, but let's just do this right now. Let me tell you, God wants to be first and foremost in our life. God don't want second fiddle with nobody or no thing. Whether it's job or it's sports, it doesn't. And I know sometimes we've got to work. I know that. Got to provide for the family. I know that. But I think a lot of times we make excuses, and I wonder how God feels about it. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Now, the obligation and the obstacles, but lastly, the opportunities. It's nothing like being close with God. It's nothing no worse than having something between us and God. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I can tell you, the side of the fence I'm on tonight, I want to stay on that side where I'm right with Him. God, I know You've told me to serve You, to be a light for You. You've told me, God, that I need to be the head of my home. I need to be the husband. I need to be holding this thing together in my house. I've got to provide for my family. I've got to steer my children in the right direction. I've got people in this church looking at me and they're looking at you. And it does matter what we do because somebody's watching. And this is a cop-out. I'm high-strung. Well, I'm high-strung too. But sometimes I got to get the string off of it. Amen. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just as close as we want to be. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight, play me something here? I wonder tonight where He says, you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. It's such a blessing to lay down. No, there's nothing between me and my God tonight. I sure am glad I'm getting this talk to Him as a little child, as my father. Tell Him the things that I need, even the desires of my heart that I want. I'm glad that I'm in that kind of relationship with Him tonight. There's nothing no worse than having something between me and Him. I want to ask you tonight, as my sister plays, I open up this altar. He said, you draw nigh to me, I draw nigh to you. He said, you may get to testifying about me again if you'd get real close to me. You might would want to go to coming to church again if you'd get real close to me. You might would feel like preaching again if you'd get real close to me. Whatever you need in your life tonight, you come.